I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. The bad city, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad say, bad law, bad dude, bad bread, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatial, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny likes to steal my purple kush and take it back to her condo and hang out with her friends and snap tubes and drink JMO all night long and listen to rock and roll music in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion check it up should do, but all my friends that come around flat to flat to party, oh, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, and our brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be check out, ooh, yeah. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Mafia tonight on a Misery Monday, and I gotta tell you, I'm stoked because I had the Heat to win outright on the money line and the 5.5 on the points. You got to love it with the double dipping. We're doing a little double dipping, a little double dabble, do you? With the Heat win over the Bucks tonight in game one. Oh, sweet Ginger Brown. Great balls of fire. You got to love it. How about your boy, Buckets, Jimmy Butler, 40 points. Including 2 for 2 from downtown, a huge 3 late that he buried, and a bunch of other nice buckets of turnaround Jay from the elbow with guys all over him. 13 of 20 from the floor, 40 points for Butler. Unbelievable. 12 of 13 from the line. He had 6 rebounds, 2 dimes, 2 steals, a blocked shot, plus 7. Unbelievable. Dragic getting involved, 27 points, 6 boards, 5 dimes, and a steal. Dragic is an absolute badass. Dagger City, 2 for 5 from downtown. We'll talk about it. Get on the bench on a Monday night. The Heat take game one.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. So I just thought that a couple of key moments in the game for me were, and I was just talking about this to Mafia in the break, was Tyler Herro's 25-foot three from Dragic when they, you know, kicked it around the horn a little bit after, you know, Dragic missed a 26-footer and Adebayo got the offensive board, kicked it out. They moved it around. I think they passed it about three times. And then he hit that dagger on the wing, like the long wing, right near the corner, right? As it starts curving around the wing. And that made it an 8-point game, 109-101. And that was just unbelievable. Butler hit the 16-foot pull-up. That made it 111-101. Middleton makes a three. It's 111-104. Then it was that for a while. Butler makes a 9-foot driving floater, 113-104, and that was just like lights out. They were up 10 after he made the first free throw after he got fouled, second free throw, and it was 115-104, and that's how it ended. But I just thought, you know, Butler was so unbelievable in this game. He, you know, there was one point, with 3 minutes left, he hit a 26-footer from outside, straight out, basically, a little bit to the right, and that made it 104-98. I mean, this was an unbelievable game. He had made a 7-foot driving floater as well, made it 101-98 when it was 99-98, and he just made all the shots, just all of them. He gave him a lead. When Giannis gave him a bucket on a driving layup, made it 96-95 bucks. And then Butler went right back down 10 seconds later and made an 8-foot floater. He made floaters left and right, 8-footer, 9-footer, 7-footer. They just couldn't stop his dribble drive penetration floaters. And then he's not a 3-point shooter. He shot 2 in the game. He made both of them. But it was just such a great bet. Now, Mafia, you tell me on FanDuel what it was. Like, I don't remember, but... I guess I have it somewhere on here, that tweet I put out, because you put up the video, right, of me, I'm not that fast, right? So I need to find it. So, okay, here it is. So the line, I'm trying to look at the line. I'm just, now I'm listening to it. What was the money line on that thing? It was plus what? One, was it? I can't read that at all. It's just too much. It's too overwhelming for me. Was it 198? What was it?
I don't know that offhand, but I'll have to look that up. But I mean, it had to be something like that because they're getting 5.5. So it wasn't a situation where it'd be, you know, minus 130 or something close like that. It's got to be almost 200, I would think.
It might have been 190. If you could find that on FanDuel, that'd be great. You're quicker than me at that. But I know it was 5.5 the whole day. When we did the show, it was 5.5. I took them to win outright and the 5.5. I got to tell you. And then what's even better is just, you know, video footage of me on TV today on Coast to Coast saying it's going to take massive onions to make this bet at the window. You got to have stones to walk up there and bet on the Heat to win outright and getting the 5.5. A little bit easier getting the 5.5. But to say they're going to win and bet both like I did, and to do it on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid TV, I got to tell you, where's the bread? Because I got the butter over here. I need to spread the butter on the bread. Because bottom line is, that was like really one of my favorite bets that I've made in a while. I've hit a lot of bets. Like Sunday, I was perfect in the NHL, hit all 3 games, whatever it was. I do that all the time. Mafia is my witness. He runs Pharrell on a bench.com, my site. There's no lies, no games, no, you know, BS, nothing. That's why it's successful, because we just tell it like it is. We either win the bets or we don't. So it was just a huge bet. And then Mafia went to the well on it and hit. So did you happen to see what it is?
Yeah, it was about plus 198.
All right, so there, I was right. It was right there, plus 198. That's a great bet. It's just a... That's just a serious chunk right there. So it was fantastic. And, you know, I don't know what I got it at originally. I'll be honest with you, I haven't had time to look at it, but I know I did it earlier. And I don't even know what it was like in-game. I wasn't getting into all that. I got a lot going on. Mafia knows it's true. I'm watching Kingdom Violence. It's very important, as you know, Mafia, to watch Kingdom, right? So I'm watching Kingdom. It's old. It's a few years old, but I never saw it. So it's like three seasons worth. So I'm watching this thing. And you know I'm at the point in season two, like episode – I'm on like it's basically episode 13 of season two. You told me there's 20. But I'm in the middle of the biggest fight, right, of the entire show so far. Like, this is the biggest fight ever. And I'm like in the second round, had to turn it off. But in between all that, I'm watching the basketball game. I got two TVs going. I'm running from room to room. And then I got the hockey game going on as well. And that game's in overtime right now with 9.5 left, 2-2 Bruins and Lightning. And I got to tell you that I was freaking out watching the game because I was so into the Heat winning. I was so on that. I didn't care. I knew the 5.5. I felt that was safe because they had the lead, right? They were up 6 and 5 and 4 and then 6 and then 8 and 9, 10, 11, you know, and they win by 11, whatever it was. 115, 104. All I know is once it got to like 9, I knew I was hitting that 5.5, right? I had no worries about the 5.5. It was all about would they win. So when it was 101-98, when it was 97-96, when it was, you know, it was crazy, right? I'm watching this game, and I had a lot riding on it. And when it was, like, I just got to look at it again, you know, because I was freaking out. So I had it on there before it erased. Anyway, here's the deal. In the fourth quarter, so when it, like, here's at the point where I was freaking out, right? I'm up. I'm down 2. At 92-90, then I'm up 5. Oh no, it was 92-90 Heat. Then I'm up 95-90. Then it's 95-92, 95-93, 95-94, 96-95 bucks. I'm tripping at that point. I need them to win the bet. I can't have them lose by one or two. So then they go up 97-96, and then 99-96. They never trailed again. 101-98, 104-98, 106-98, 109-101. At that point, I knew I was going to cover the, you know, the 5.5. But I needed them to win the bet. I needed them to win the game. So when they won, I was freaking out. When there was like, you know, 40 seconds left, I felt pretty good about them winning, about them, you know, holding on and hitting the money line bet at almost plus 200. So it's just a great bet, and it makes you feel good hitting a big bet always, right? But it's even better when you're on TV doing it all day, selling that, you know, it's going to be a real scary bet. You got to have some serious stones to walk up and make that bet and just go for it. And so we were on the air today, and I was like, I'm going for it. I'm going Heat. I think they're going to beat them. I think they're going to win, and it's onions. So then afterwards I put onions, how do you like them apples? Because they did it. And I also said that the reason I liked them is because A, they shoot the ball so well. B, I think they shoot better in the Bucks. C, I think their defense is better in the Bucks. And I just think they'll be in the game. And I think, you know, if the Magic can beat them in game one when they're sleepwalking, because they, you know, I think they take games for granted. I actually think the Bucks are very hard to beat. But I think they know it, right? So I think that they actually go into games thinking, you're not beating us. We're the Bucks. We're the best team in the East. We're the best team in basketball. We had the best record. We're the best team. We're not losing to you. I think they come into games with that attitude, which I have no problem with. I think that's a great way to look at it when you are one of the best teams in the league. So they know they got Giannis. They know they can shoot. They know Brooks can shoot. They know Korver can shoot. They know Connaughton can shoot because he can. And they know Middleton can, for the most part, shoot. So they have all these guys that can pour it in, right? No doubt. And then, but the problem is, is that Hero, Robinson, Butler, I said it on TV today. I'm like, they can all shoot as good as anybody. And, you know, even Iggy is involved in this and others. So I like Crowder. I like their toughness. I like their coach. I like Spoelstra. And I just said, look, they can hang with anybody. They've beaten the Bucks in Milwaukee. They've beaten all these teams, Boston, Toronto. The Heat aren't afraid of anybody. So I bet on them. And it was just a Gandhi bet. It was awesome. Coming up, Bob Nightingale to talk about the baseball deadline.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell on the bench, Bob Nightingale, USA Today. We always love hooking up with Bob on both Coast to Coast and Pharrell on the bench. Let's bring him in. How you doing, Bob?
Yeah, doing great. Thanks, Scott.
So let me start with, and I talked about this at great length today on the TV side on Sports Grid, the Padres and AJ Preller. I got to tell you, there was, you know, I would say going into this 60-game season, I thought to myself, all right, they've totally disappointed with really since he's been there, in my opinion. He got Machado, but that's a lot of money for one guy, and they got, you know, obviously nothing last year out of him other than him making a lot of money. And then the Padres basically stunk. And then this year going into the season, everyone said if Preller doesn't do something, if they don't make the – like wild card or something, that he's out of there. And then I thought, you know, that's probably accurate. And then what he did over the last 4 days, I thought was so impressive as a outsider, as a, you know, watching a GM at his craft, ply those deals, all of them, you know, the reliever and Rosenthal, getting the catcher, getting Clevinger, getting Moreland, doing two catchers. They trade away one of them and then keep one of them. But I thought every move he made was calculated. Even the late move he made, he wasn't done with making moves after, you know, the Clevinger deal. What did you, because I thought Preller really stole the show. I mean, he literally blew me away with what he's done. And now I would think they're having a great season. To me, they're going to the playoffs. And secondly, I would no more fire that guy now than fly a kite.
No, he definitely sold the show. I mean, thank God for the Padres, who have been a very dull trade deadline. They made exciting. Hey, everything he wanted to do, he got done. I think I counted 26 trades, 5 teams, 23 players, 3 players to be named. So, yeah, he was on fire and didn't have to give up any of his top 5 prospects either to get this stuff done. So, yeah, they're not going to catch the Dodgers, but they're a very good team. It's a scary team. They should be around.
Listen, you know, he wasn't done. He got the, you know, the Austin Nola deal, like I mentioned. And you know, at the end of the day, I you know, even after Rosenthal and all that had been done, he ended up, you know, doing a late deal right at the deadline. So the bottom line was, you know, I think they stole the show. But here's the deal. Clevinger, to me, is a guy at 29 and basically, and I don't have his numbers right in front of me, but I'm going to just say, like, he's literally in the last 4 years hovered around an ERA of 3 or just under 3, right? And I think that he's in his prime and at that age and what they have left on his deal, this was like, I mean, this is really a genius move because I think they can get a lot out of those tires.
Yeah, he's making, $4.1 million this year. So you got an arbitration eligible the next 2 years. So, no, it's a and for him to do that in the American League Central, now you go into a weaker division, you know, for offense, National League West, you know, pitching a pitcher's ballpark in San Diego. He could, you know, he could even be better. So, no, I thought it was a great trade. You know, the White Sox were on that thing, so were the Toronto Blue Jays. So, no, yeah, kudos to the Padres to get it done. Like I said, it's not just a one-year thing. It's not like you just went all in. And they should be around for a while now. And they haven't made the playoffs since 2006. They'll definitely make it now.
So you had, you know, you were on this as well. You were all over it on like Sunday that something was brewing, right? And that you, there were other teams involved. And I think a lot of people thought he was going somewhere else. When you knew that there were three teams involved, which one did you think he'd go to, Clevenger?
Well, I thought the Padres, but the, to be honest, Scott, so late last night, both the Padres and the White Sox were told, you're out. We got a better offer. And so I thought, well, where's he going? Maybe the Toronto Blue Jays. And then the Padres came back in and said, okay, here's a better offer. How about this one? The White Sox never came back in and said, hey, we're sticking by our offer. And once, you know, A.J. Preller did that, it's like, okay, we can't pass this up. So that's where they got the deal done. But for a while there, they were told they were out.
So now that they are where they are, and, you know, this team has just really been incredible, you have to admit. Now, I know the Dodgers have a better record and they're the best team in the National League. But I said today on TV, there's no way they haven't, like, noticed what the Padres are doing. They know full on that they have a problem down south, that this team is no joke. And I don't think anybody wants to play them in the playoffs.
No, I mean, they're a dangerous team. I mean, you know, the pitching's okay. I mean, obviously now they have Clevenger, that helps. But obviously the Dodgers, you know, don't have that fear. I mean, here's the Dodgers. They even gave up Ross Stripling just to help them out. So, okay, yeah, we'll go ahead and trade you. We have enough depth. But, yeah, they can be a very dangerous team. I think the team that everybody in the National League is fearful of, Scott, is the Cincinnati Reds. Nobody wants to play them the first round. You got Trevor Bauer and Sonny Gray and Castillo, 1-2-3. You can be in trouble, big-time trouble right away.
Yeah, you know, I understand all that. I guess, you know, a lot of people have been selling me the Reds from the jump. And the difference is, for me, is that they have all that and there's just no results to go with it. I mean, at what point is there going to be results? Like, I mean, they still lose and they're not, you know, the other day someone was bantering with me about them being a game out of the eight. And I'm like, that's like when you know you suck, when you're like bragging about being the last team in. I mean, honestly, like you either got a winning record and you're kicking ass and taking names, or you're some team three or four games under 500 bragging about what? I mean, that's where I come from, that side of the river.
No, I'm with you. I didn't pick the Reds to make the playoffs. I just jumped the Reds bandwagon. I didn't see it either. But all I'm saying is that with the way those two guys are pitching, Bauer and Gray, you don't want to face that team. I'm not saying they're a scary team otherwise, but to face those two pitchers, you know, right off the bat, you know, that can be fearful if they make it. Who knows if they're going to make it or not.
Right. So, I have to ask you about the Stripling deal, because I was a little surprised, to be honest with you. And at the end of the day, the Jays end up, Robbie Ray, Walker, and then they got, you know, Ryu, Anderson. I mean, that's a nice snag for Toronto. Any way you slice it is getting Stripling. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think he can help, I wish you had a better numbers in the National League. It's going to be tougher, of course, to pitch in the AL East. But at least they're trying. I mean, Walker was a free agent signee. Anybody could have had Taiwan Walker in February, and everybody passed until the Marlins did. I mean, Mariners did. And then the, of course, Robbie Ray is, man, he's 31 walks in, he starts 31 innings, leading
the league
in walks. Yeah, terrible.
He's a terrible pitcher.
You know, Stripling's okay. But at least they're trying. At least they got some pieces without costing much.
But, like, you know, one of those, Robbie Ray's, like, you know what? He's, like, drinking cheap booze to me. It's just like, what's the point? If I'm going to get hammered, I might as well drink the good stuff. Because you drink him, and you're going to get a wicked hangover. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't get it. Why do teams make deals for, frankly, hacks like him? And I, Tommy Malone, all these other guys that got dealt that, you know, just aren't going to make a difference. All they're doing is changing uniforms. Let's get real here.
You know, at least the Blue Jays gave up nothing. I mean, gave up a long reliever in the bullpen. You know, they're eating $1 million a contract, and that's it. I mean, obviously, the Diamondbacks made a huge mistake. They held on to him way too long. They could have got a decent amount for him last July at the trade deadline. Could have got some more for him at you know, during the winter. So, you know, well, hopefully the you know, the Rangers don't have the same consequence because they held on to, you know, Lance Lynn. His value is sky high right now. So we'll see. But, yeah, that was a painful lesson for the Diamondbacks.
So Mike Minor, the A's got him, and they're 16th in the bigs in ERA, almost at 5 a game. But I have to ask you, so why would you go get a guy that's ERA is almost 6? I mean, he's been a disaster this year. Like, do they think he's going to do better in the Chris Baer in Oakland or something? What's the difference?
Well, it should be easier to pitch there, but, you know, hey, Texas is a new ballpark. It's a pitcher's ballpark as well. You know, he had a nice track record last year. I will say his last start, I think 6 innings, 4 hits, shutout innings against the Dodgers. So maybe they're going off that, like, okay, this guy's going to bounce back. So it's not like they gave up much for him. I thought it was a good deal for Oakland just to, you know, give it a try.
So can you hang out a little, Bob? Because I want to talk about, like, some more moves. And I also want to talk about games that are going on, like the Rays tonight beating the Yankees again for like the 90th straight time. I think that's like a real problem. Can you hang out for another segment with us?
Sure.
All right. So they beat him again. At the very least, I think it was 5-3, and Glasnow over Cole. So think about this for a second, because I think it's important to note is that the Yankees have paid all this money to Gerrit Cole, right? And so Gerrit Cole's out there, and I just want to look at the numbers. I mean, they obviously Tampa beat him again, and it's just amazing to me. He gave up 4 earned runs, walked 4, struck out 7, gave up 2 more home runs. This guy's getting lit up like a bong lately throwing home run pitches. So 5 innings, 8 hits. He can't even pitch 7 innings. That's amazing to me. For, frankly, let's just be honest, the money he's making. I mean, this guy's making more money than God, and he can't go 7 innings. He can get 5 innings and give up 2 home runs every time he pitches. So we'll come back and talk bad about the Yankees on a bench. We'll catch up with Bob Nightingale here in a second. He just dropped off. We'll get him right back. So just so you know, Glasnow beat Cole tonight at Yankee Stadium. And it's amazing because Glasnow went 6 innings, gave up 2 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. That's like an amazing performance, right? You got to admit, that's truly amazing. And then Cole pitched 5 innings, gave up 8 hits, 4 earned runs, 4 walks, 7 Ks, 2 home runs. He gave up a Choi homer in the first, Kiermaier home run in the second, and then he gave up another run in the fifth. It was 4-0, and then in the sixth he gave another Choi had an RBI single, made it 5-0. So they were up 5-0. They won 5-3. It is amazing to me how, you know, Cole's 4-2. I get it. He's got a 3.91 ERA. You look at Glasnow, he's got a 4.24 ERA. He's 2-1. But Glasnow clearly outpitched Garrett Cole tonight in the Bronx. And it's unbelievable. I can't even keep track of the, frankly, the wins. You know what I mean? Like, they're, it's just so unbelievable that I don't, it's either like, you know, 7 of 8 or something like that, that they beat them in. I think it was 6 of 7 before. Now it's like 7 of 8. I could be wrong. It might be 8 of 9. I don't even know. All I know is, is that they can't beat that team. And that's all that matters. All that matters is that they own the Yankees. And then that's all you need to know, in my opinion, is if they're going to, you know, win. You know, everybody says Yankees, Dodgers, World Series. And then I'm basically saying at this point, my ass. I mean, they can't even beat them. So, Mafia, were you able to track down Bob? Wow, so we lost Bob. There you go. Swing and a miss. That's like Garrett Cole pitching. You know, that's like Garrett Cole pitching tonight. So you can't even deny it, Mafia, that they own him. I mean, I don't even know, because I'm not that smart to know the exact number. If it's 6 of 7, it was 6 of 7, maybe 7 of 8 now, something like that, or 8 of 9. It's one of those. And I know it's either one or the other. And so I've lost track of how many times they beat him. And so it's all you need to know in my book, seriously, that the Rays are better than the Yankees. That's it. That's all you need to know. They beat them every time they play them.
And listen, this is a team that's always had, you know, it's always given them trouble, no matter how the Tampa season has gone at any point during their, you know, tenure in the MLB. When they face the Yankees, they've always given them trouble. You know, it's one of those back then was, oh, they're taking them too lightly or something like that. But I mean, now you know this team's good. This team is, you know, the tops of the division. This team is formidable. There have been, you know, for a couple of years now, they've been a pain in your butt. And you sign this mega deal for this guy, and he just keeps serving up home run balls and can't get through games. You know, can't give you quality starts, 7 innings, you know, 1 or 2 runs. He's giving jacks every time. Like, what is the deal going on with them?
Well, what do you think it is? Do you think it's the because he's pitched in a lot of big games, right? In, you know, Houston, in the World Series and everything else, you know, when they were cheating. He didn't have anything to do with the, you know, knowing all the pitches, because he's a pitcher. He's out there pitching and trying to stop the other team. They're the ones cheating. The players were cheating and knowing what the pitches were. It's amazing to me. That whole story makes me sick. Don't even get me started on their cheating. Okay, so I know, you know what I hear all the time is everybody else cheats and they're the ones that got caught. And I'm like, okay, glasses half full, whatever. All I know is they cheated. They knew the pitches. When they beat the Yankees, they knew what was coming, right? They knew the pitch. They knew what was coming when Chapman threw the pitch and little Altuve hits the ball over the wall. Look at Altuve this year. He's not doing anything. Right. So all their big stars really. And now I don't know off the top of my head. So I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm Mr. Know-it-all in terms of the Astros numbers and everything like that. I know. Aren't they weren't they like I could be wrong. Are they the one who's the ones? The A's and Astros are the ones that are obviously postponed over the weekend. Right. So we don't know their. Right. We don't know. They might play Wednesday or Thursday, a doubleheader Thursday. They're not playing Tuesday, Wednesday is what I know. So all I'm saying is I don't have their averages in front of me. I just know that all of their big guns have struggled, right? They haven't done anything really in terms of hitting. They've struggled hitting. They've had injuries to Verlander and all these other things. Springer was out for a long time, et cetera, et cetera. But the bottom line is, in my opinion, he's pitched in Cole big games. Left and right, he's pitched in big games. So I don't believe really in the whole, I'm not sure that I believe in the whole that, you know, he's nervous or something in New York, you know, with the extra pressure of New York and the media and the, you know, tabloids and the fans and, you know, talk radio and like just, you know, the amount of cameras and, you know, press and all the pressure that comes with it. Like you could turn on the radio in New York and like tonight and tomorrow and they will bash him until he wants to, you know, literally jump off a bridge. Right. So they're nasty. I mean, if you don't win every single time out, they give you just massive grief on the radio and on TV in New York. So, like, when they do the highlights, they basically not only show you failing, but they tell everyone that you're failing. Like, they're like, this guy's not getting it done. They pay him all this money, and look at the result. Look at these home runs he's giving up. That's what they do to him. They attack him. So there's a lot of people that can't handle that over the years. There's a lot of people that have never been able to handle that. And I don't really frankly believe at this point, you know, a month into a 2-month season, that he can't handle it in New York because there's so much media pressure and fan pressure and all that. Fan pressure being it's one phone call after the next to these radio stations where they talk all day and they bash him. They'll spend, you know, 18 hours talking bad about him. Tomorrow, all day long, this guy will get railed. He's getting railed right now on the radio in New York. And so
that was his first loss of the year.
It's what?
And that was only his first loss of the year.
No, he's four and one
right now.
He's 4-2. So anyway, that's not the problem. The problem is not that he can't handle the pressure, because he's been in pressure game. When you pitch in a World Series, I don't care what you know, the ALCS and all that, you're in pressure games, right? So he's come up big in pressure games and in the ultimate, you know, the ALCS and the World Series. So I'm not buying that he can't handle New York, but I am buying is what you said, is that he's given up all these home runs. He gave up two more tonight. He gives up a home run or two every time he pitches. You cannot, in my view, be successful as a superstar pitcher and make tons of money, and every time you go out, you give up two home runs. You just can't have it. Now, Glasnow tonight, what did I tell you? 6 innings, no runs, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. I mean, what more do you need to know that he schooled him tonight? And Glasnow is another one from the Pirates or whatever that they got down in Tampa, and they're just reaping off of this guy. And the other one they got their whole rotation, Blake Snell, all these guys, Meadows, all of them, they've had all this success, right? Once they left Pittsburgh, right? So it's obvious to me that it's really that he's given up these home runs. That's the problem. You start the game out, you're in the first inning, second inning, you've already given up, you know, 3 runs. You've given up 2 home runs, 3 runs. Then it's 4-0, 5-0. The game's over. And you can't even go 6 innings. You can't even go 7 innings. You're going 5 innings and getting lit for 8 hits. You walk 4 guys. And then people say, well, he struck out 7, so there's the bright side. There is no bright side when you're going out and giving up all these home runs. And I'm telling you, in New York, they're saying, you know, exactly what I just said. There are people calling up going, yo, this is Dave in Brooklyn. I'm just not having this. I'm not having this guy giving up all these home runs every night. I'm not having it. Right? That's what they do. They'll talk about the home runs until they're blue in the face.
Yeah, he's given up 12 on the year in the 8-game start. He's given up 12 home runs, and he's given up 7 in just the last 3 games. He's given up 2, 3, and 2.
That's all you need to know, is that he's given up 7 home runs in his last 3 games, and that's just, it's damning, and it's just, you're doomed in this town where they're just going to torch him. And then I'm sure, listen, just so you know, there's no way that I don't believe for 1 minute that Garrett Cole sits around listening to sports talk radio. OK, he just doesn't. All right. So I know that some of them, you know, might have it on in the car when they drive to the stadium or something. They might have it on. But my belief is the majority of them, literally 90% of them, don't, because they know what happens. They know that if they turn on sports talk radio in New York, they're going to be getting, if they're not winning, they're going to be getting bashed. There's no getting around it. If you lose in New York, if you're the Yankees and you're losing, you're going to get bashed, and you're not going to like listening to it. If you're driving to, you know, the stadium to go to work and all they do is talk bad about you, you're not going to want to listen to it. So most of these guys, first of all, I know for a fact that they, you know, the days of newspapers have changed, right? Back in the day, there wasn't a baseball player alive that wouldn't read the box scores and read the stories about the team, okay? Every day of their life, I'd say in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s, I believe through 2010, that every baseball player in the clubhouse looked at the paper, looked at the sports page, looked at the stories, looked at the columnists that write about the team, and looked at the box scores, and looked at the rest of major leagues to see what everybody did. They look at the boxes to see what everybody did, who's hot, who's not, etc. They all did it. But then the day changed when it got like about 2010 at least, where everybody started using their phones. And there was, you know, maybe it was earlier than that, using your phones, but baseball players in general, I don't believe, you know, stopped reading newspapers in the clubhouse or at the stadium or at home in the morning. They'd get up maybe and they, you know, look at the paper or whatever, take a look at it. And they'd always look and see what was going on and what they were saying about the team. Nowadays, they don't do that. They just have their phones and they can get everything on their phone. They don't have to deal with newspapers, and everything else. But I'm telling you, back in the day, they read them and they knew what people were saying about them. I've never once known a guy not to know what they're saying about him. And then they all lie through their teeth and they say to every reporter ever, they'll always say, I don't read the papers and I don't watch TV and I don't watch ESPN and I don't care about all the high. They're lying through their teeth. Okay. Every one of these guys knows when they're on ESPN. Every one of these guys likes watching their highlights. Every one of these guys likes when they're succeeding and you're seeing the success in highlights on TV locally or nationally. They all can't get enough of it. Trust me, you. When they say they don't watch, they're lying. They're lying through their teeth. Because every athlete in the world, they all watch ESPN. They all do. And that's that. And then a lot of them, when they're on, like if the NFL players, they'll just watch NFL Network and ESPN, whatever there's football shows on, that's what they're going to watch. And if you go in the clubhouse and you walk in on a training day or whatever, you're going to see NFL Network on the TV and ESPN. That's all they got. That's all they got on. And then they're going to sit there and tell you they don't watch it. They're lying through their teeth so they know when they suck. All right, Pharrell on the bench. So hopefully we'll track down Bob Nightingale and get him back on in the second hour. We don't have a lot of time here to like do an interview with based on our business at hand. So we'll try to catch up with him in the next hour. If we do, great. If we don't, it's highly unfortunate. We were in the middle of talking to him, and then one thing led to another. He got a call that was really important, and he dropped off, and that was the end of it. It was like it was really a lot like having a big fish on your reel. Deep sea fishing, you had like a big old schnook on there or something, and then you brought it all the way in for half an hour, 45 minutes, haul it in, get it right up to the boat, right to the edge of the boat, and then the boom, the thing snaps off the line and goes and gives you the finger and swims away. That's about what it was like. We had Bob right there on the hook, and then he snapped off, gave us the finger, and swam away. It's really unfortunate. Although I am watching double overtime with Boston and Tampa. The Bruins have to win. They're down 3-1 in the series. If the Lightning can score a goal, series over, shaking hands time. They're trying to eliminate the Bruins tonight. I have to say that it was unbelievable to me. They scored with about 7 minutes left in the game. The Lightning took the lead on a Cirelli goal in front, redirected, and then they allowed a Krejci to score in that window of 6.5 minutes, whatever it was left in the game. And, you know, the bottom line is they had the game. You got to win the game. You go up 2-1 with 7 minutes left. You got to close the game out and win the game. Now what you have is a situation where you blew the 2-1 lead with, you know, 7 to go. You blow the lead. And then I'd say 9 out of 10 dentists prefer you lose the game in overtime. And then you got to play a game 6 and you might lose that game. Then you got to play a game 7. You might lose that game. You will never regret having a 1-goal lead with 7 minutes to go and not sealing the deal. They should have won the game and they blew it. Let's see if they can win this game.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.